Yesterday, we talked about a new iPhone app available that helps Catholics prepare to go to confession. It's not the way to confess, but it's a way to prepare to go to confess. We spoke to Patrick Lyon, and he's the creator of the Confession app. It's interactive media that's changing at such a fast pace that he says it's up to religion to catch up.
In a sense, they're not really phones anymore. They're sort of like, you know, reflections of ourselves. They have our contacts, our emails, our music, our entertainment. It's not so strange to think of that they would also have parts of our faith that are sort of personalized on it.
All right. So at what point does the neighborhood church become actually an online forum? Joining us now is Lisa Miller, author of Heaven, Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife, and senior editor at Newsweek. Welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
And Ash Grayson, managing editor at BeliefNet.com. Well, Lisa, let me ask you about this first, because for a while the churches have kind of kept their distance from some of these social media sites. And I should say that the Confession app is not approved by the Catholic Church. It's just, in a sense, not disapproved. So why would the churches be slow to embrace social media?
The whole point of church, the whole point of religion, in some sense, is community. And by that, I mean physical community. Being together, praying together, confession has to be done, you know, with a priest, and all kinds of elements of religion and ritual are physical. They have to do with your body. They have to do with your body being with other people's bodies in a space, in a physical space. And so I think religion is reluctant to take on the technology, social media and stuff, because it takes that element of physicality out of worship, out of religion, and that is so crucial to what religion is.
All right, but Ash Grayson of BeliefNet.com, clearly you believe that there's a real place for faith on the internet. I mean, at this point, do you agree with Patrick Lyon of the Confession app that churches are simply going to have to catch up with the 21st century?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen the number of churches that have a website go from 25% 2 or 3 years ago to over 80% now. And to Lisa's point, there's actually churches like Life Church, lifechurch.tv, where they have a virtual campus. So they're replacing the community. It might not be a church. It might be a movie theater, but you watch church on a TV screen, but you still have a physical meeting place.
Ash Grayson, it's not just the sort of fancy new churches. It's some of the old lines as well. The Trinity Church here in New York City on Wall Street, one of the oldest churches in the city, has a very robust kind of live streaming identity as well as pastoral care online. And every Sunday they talk about it right from the pulpit.
You got it. I mean, the old churches are saying they want to be, you know, the buzzword now is relevant. They want to be relevant. So, in their eyes, they're just doing the Great Commission and going to where the people are.
Well, you know, Lisa Miller, one ways in which faith is really making a comeback in iPads and iPhones and all kinds of social media is that it's helping people with the daily ritual of their faith. And they've got iPhone apps and other apps that have a compass that points in the direction of Jerusalem, so Jewish users know which way to face while they're praying. They've got the Beautiful Sayings of Prophet Muhammad app. They've got the Interfaith Calendar that shows the day's festivals for all the major religions, which helps people kind of they're reminded on a daily basis in the same way that maybe church bells that rang out through an entire city used to do that for communities. So maybe this is an opportunity for churches to increase their membership rather than maybe losing people to the computer.
Absolutely. I think that's absolutely true. And technology has always been a way of disseminating faith. I mean, the printing press, the first use of the printing press was to disseminate the Bible, right? That was a new technology. And the idea was more people were going to be able to read the Bible because of the printing press. So there is not a inherent conflict between religion and technology. I think there is an inherent conflict between the embodied nature of religion and technology and how churches work that out, you know, how you do the communion wafer and have that sense of the sacrament online is a really difficult proposition. You know, how you hold hands with somebody online, that's a really difficult proposition for somebody.
Wow. But email and transubstantiation. There's a concept.
But I think you're right. I think that in a lot of practical ways, you know, the call to prayer, you can do that on your iPhone. There are apps that have, you know, bells so that you know when your meditation session
I have that app.
You do?
Yes, I do. Well, that's Lisa Miller, author of Heaven, Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife. But Ash Grayson of BeliefNet.com, I want you to read you a comment from one of our listeners. Kelly in Myrtle Beach writes, as an agnostic, I'm turned off by zealous religious posts by friends. I feel religion should be a private and introspective experience and not appropriate for the public. Does some of this kind of border into proselytizing?
Oh, I think anything can always border into proselytizing. I think it's just up to the person responsible. I mean, you can put a sign in your front yard that someone may find offensive. If you look on Facebook, two of the most popular groups are, the last time I checked, was the Bible and Jesus Daily. So if that someone sees that on your wall and they think it's proselytizing, then they can block it, I guess.
Well, Lisa Miller, we're never going to get rid of the traditional churches, right? We will always have these church buildings in which people can have potlucks and fundraisers and go to experience their rituals and their weddings and funerals. That's not going away.
No,
do you think?
I don't think so, and I think it's really crucial. There's a sense in the Jewish tradition and also in the Catholic tradition that when you're in church, when you're praying, when you're doing the liturgy, you're imitating the actions of the angels in heaven. And so that connection of, you know, being in church with other people, praying, singing the songs, participating in the Mass or in the you know, Sabbath service, is doing what the angels do in heaven. It's very hard for me to imagine how you would do that on an iPhone.
Well, you never know. Maybe the angels text each other. They could be big Twitter fans, Lisa. That's all I'm saying. Lisa Miller, author of Heaven, Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife, senior editor at Newsweek, and we spoke with Ash Grayson, managing editor at BeliefNet.com. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.